I've studied this section of verse. It's really my life verse, my life vision. And I've studied a lot through my life. And so I enjoyed studying it again and try to live it out. And as I studied, I realized I still don't always live it out. So I was at a conference once where I heard this woman, Mindy Calaguire. She's a Christian leader, once stood in front of a group of Christians and asked this question. What tends to emerge in the life of a person who neglects his or her soul? What symptoms creep in? Think about that for a minute of your own soul. At first, the room was silent, and then somebody ventured anxiety. Then their answers came so fast, Mindy couldn't write them on the flip chart fast enough. Self-absorption, they called out. Shame, apathy, toxic anger, chronic fatigue, lack of confidence, isolation, sin looks more appealing, no compassion, self-oriented, drivenness, loss of vision, and no desire for God. Soon every inch of the page was crammed. A sad feeling hovered over the room as these Christians saw themselves in the mirror. Then Mindy turned the page and asked, what emerges in your life when you're deeply connected with God? When your health, soul is healthy? This page also filled up quickly. Love, joy, compassion, giving and receiving grace, generosity of spirit, peace, ability to trust and discernment, boundlessness, work coming out of the overflow of my life with God, creativity, vision, balance, focus. Then Mindy held up the soul neglect list and asked, who votes for this one? And everybody did the same thing you did. She goes on to say, no one in their right mind would choose to live that way. Then Mindy said this, the truth is, you vote for one or the other of these two lists every minute of every day. So which list are you voting for? If you want to live your life with a healthy soul, then this could be an important sermon for you. Jesus spoke to this subject, and what he said has become deeply important to me. I want to share what I've learned from one of the Bible's most important passages on how to live with a healthy soul. In the gospel today, John 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's the Last Supper, and Jesus knows he's going to die. If you know you're going to die soon, every word counts. You want to tell the people you love what's really on your heart. Here's what Jesus says, John 15:4. Remain in me, and I remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Jesus uses a picture from everyday life that the disciples would have immediately understood. He talks about a grapevine. How many of you have grown grapevines? How many of you have seen a grapevine? So you can keep that in your imaginations. They don't seem to grow abundantly around DuPage County. But Jesus uses this picture of a grapevine to teach us something important about how to live with a healthy soul. And Jesus explains that picture. First, Jesus is the vine. Second, his disciples, which today includes you and me, are the branches. If you've ever seen a vine, you know that it's hard to tell where the vine stops and the branches start. Jesus is saying, I want you as my disciples to be so close to me and be so much like me that when someone looks at your life, it's hard for them to tell where I stop and where you begin. Jesus says that his disciples are the branches. A vine needs branches. Without the branches, it cannot bear fruit. Andrew Murray says, the branch is simply a bit of wood brought forth by the vine for the one purpose of serving it and bearing its fruit. What would fruit look like in your life? Maybe more patience with your roommate or spouse or children. More compassion for people in need, a compassion so real that it motivates you to do something. More peace than you'd expect to have in a stressful situation. more ability to really listen to people, surprising ability to forgive that person who hurt you and let go, giving generously, volunteering for ministries in the church or community. Jesus makes another point in verse 1. Jesus says that God the Father is the gardener. And hear what the gardener does. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. If you want to live connected to Christ with a healthy soul, you can expect to be pruned sometimes. Jesus said you can count on that. That limitations in your life that are painful experience that you thought was a mistake, that was actually God working in your life. He wants to help you so you'll bear more fruit and become more loving, and that only comes through pruning. When my husband Kevin was growing up, his family had a grapevine in their backyard, and every year his dad would go out with the big pruning shears and cut it down and cut it back to the ground. And he thought his dad was killing the grapevines. He didn't understand. But he realized that the next year the vines came back even bigger and more full of grapes. Maybe you're here this evening and you can't understand why it seems like God is allowing so much hurt and suffering in your life. He may be pruning you, not because you even did something wrong, but because you're doing something right. He believes in you. He sees that you're a good branch connected to the vine, and he wants you to bring out more fruit than you ever have. So that's the picture that Jesus wants us to see. If we're going to live a healthy and productive life, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. God the Father is gardener who prunes us so we'll bear more fruit. I read this scripture to the staff this week when we met, and afterwards I just asked each of them to reflect on it. And so we were on Zoom, once a month we meet on Zoom, and so Mary said that she was sitting there as I had them meditating, and she looked over at a plant she had that was a really old plant. She's had it a long time, and she noticed that the vine was all the way down on the ground and coming towards her. But the end of the vine was dying because it had gotten too far away from the source, which I thought was a beautiful picture of how if we get too far away from that source, we could begin to die and wither. So she said she was going to clip it and replant some of the, whatever you do, I'm not a planter, so you can tell. So anyways, I haven't asked her if she had a chance to do that. I'm sure she's been very busy this week. But so here's your job as a branch. Remain in me and I remain in you. Why? For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from the vine, apart from me. In a commentary on the Gospel of John, the author puts it this way: there's only one evidence of a branch is truly alive. Does it produce clusters of grapes? Note carefully, however, that the metaphor is not saying fruit bearing is not a test. That is, a branch does not have to demonstrate a level of productivity to be safe from destruction. Rather, fruit bearing is a byproduct of what Jesus is doing in your heart and soul. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, we are not called upon to produce the fruit, but simply to bear it. He is the producer. Our job is just this: remain in Jesus and stay connected to Jesus. If we can stay connected with Jesus, we can count on it. We will bear fruit. It's going to happen out of our healthy connection to Jesus. Good things take place in us, and good things take place through us. I don't know about you, but I get worn down, disconnected from the Lord. It becomes more difficult for me to walk in the beautiful fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. It's more difficult to serve others. I'd rather just sit around and feel sorry for myself. Then I need a deeper connection with Jesus. I need to be even closer to the vine. Bill Leslie, who's a pastor for many years on the inner city of Chicago. One day, discouragement and conflict caused him to hit bottom, and he made an appointment with a spiritual director, Anne. Anne listened to his frustration, anger, and weariness. She said to him, "Picture yourself as a farm pump. Let's say that everybody who comes by grabs the handle and pumps." Bill said, "They sure do." And Anne asked, "Have you read those passages in the Bible about being a servant?" Bill answered, "Yes, those are the ones that got me in this trouble." "Do you believe them?" Anne asked. And Bill said, "Well, yeah, I believe them, but it doesn't feel good." "The real problem," she said, "is that your pipe isn't deep enough. You're pumping surface water, so by 10:30 in the morning, they've pumped you dry. Deep down, there are underground streams. If you can get your pipe down there, there's so much water that nobody, how much anyone pumps out of you, they'll have a hard time lowering the level of water, even 1 inch. Anne began working with Bill to help him go deeper to connect into the vine. She used a picture of an underground stream and a pump. Jesus used the picture of a vine and a branch. But it's the same lesson. I was listening to Pray As You Go this week. Many of you may listen to that. It's on an app on your phone. And they put it this way. They happened to be reading that on Tuesday morning, right before my staff meeting. So that probably is also why I had them reflect on the verse. I was like, "Okay, Lord, I get it." He says, "The Father cares for us, protects us, gently prunes us, as a vine is cherished by the vine grower close to Jesus." Jesus repeats several times how carefully the vine is treated in order that it will be fruitful. Being closely grafted to the true vine, abiding in him, enables us to bear fruit. If you stay connected, you'll be okay. In order to love and bear good fruit, we must stay connected to Christ. To be connected to the vine means that the life of Jesus is flowing through us, and this leads to fruitfulness. Fruitfulness will be the inevitable outcome of an interior spiritual life with Jesus. Mindy Kaligrawer puts it this way, "So what makes a soul healthy?" Quite simply, a soul is healthy to the extent that it experiences a strong connection to and receptivity to God. I'm going to repeat that one. Quite simply, a soul is healthy to the extent that it experiences a strong connection to and receptivity to God. And listen here, it's experience. It's not feeling. We don't always feel this deep emotional connection. But it's also staying connected even in the difficult suffering times. Under those conditions, the soul is most alive, most receptive to divine breathings, divine promptings, divine power in the face of joy or pain or opposition. Connection and receptivity, a rather simple spiritual concept. Really? I don't always find it that simple. So how do we stay connected to the vine? Some people think they have to get more organized or more spiritual, whatever that is. But the big shift is to believe that precisely in your depth of connection with God is where life and fruit bearing are to be found. Because then you are living a life of relationship and love with him, which then you can express to others. One time I taught at a workshop at the National Pastors Convention. During my talk, I mentioned that I had a soul care plan. There are about 25 pastors in the room. And they weren't listening to what I was saying. They just began asking about the soul care plan. And I said, "Well, how many of you have some intentional way of staying connected to Christ, a plan to care for your soul?" And one pastor finally spoke up and said, "I take a retreat one week each year." I was like, But everyone else had no way of regularly connecting with Christ. Even the pastors who regularly preach said that when they studied scripture, that was the time they read scripture. I must admit, I was a bit shocked. These was a room full of devoted evangelical pastors from all over and many different denominations. However, when I look back over my own life, this has been a struggle for me. When I became a Christian, I was taught and believed that quiet time was studying my Bible, praying, and journaling all alone for 1 hour every day. I struggled for years with this. I'm an extrovert, and I do not like to be by myself a lot. I do not like to journal. So I did quiet time out of discipline, but it was not very life-giving, to be honest, or consistent, because I'd give up and then I'd start over again because I felt guilty. I always felt guilty that I wasn't doing it right or enough. Anybody say amen? Amen. When I worked on my master's degree in social work, they worked with us how to avoid burnout. We spent time looking at how to keep ourselves renewed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I went to a secular school and I found that very interesting that we still talked about our spiritual lives. I learned more about myself and my personality. I'm highly extroverted and learn more experientially. I remember talking to Kevin about journaling because he journals all the time. I was like, what am I supposed to do with all your journals when you die someday? And I said, if I ever die and the journals I do have, burn them because I journal when I'm angry. You can see the pages all over in black ink. So he said, Karen, of course I like to journal. I'm a writer. That's what I do for life. And I thought, wow, that's true. And that really kept me from feeling guilty or like I didn't have to journal as much. And it started me on a journey to discover and protect the things in my life that keep me healthy and energized and connected to the vine. How can you intentionally make space in your life for God through experiences, practices, and relationships that deepen your connection to Jesus, the vine? If you're already doing this, great. I know many of you here do. Maybe God will give you new ways to connect to him and bring things back you have let go. But if you don't have a plan, an intentional plan, how to stay connected to the vine, one thing you can do is to discover ways to connect with God that are best suited for who he created you to be. An author wrote a book called Sacred Pathway, Discovering Your Soul's Path to God. And he lists different ways of sacred pathways that people stay connected. I don't have time to do the whole list, but I thought I'd share just one of them. He said, nature lover, loving God out of doors. How many of you feel really connected to God when you're out of doors? All I think about is my allergies are flaring up and I'm gonna get a sinus infection. But I know this is important to people. I know Nadine brightens up this time of year and Randy, when they can start thinking about their gardens and planting their seeds. This isn't a worship of nature. Some people get nervous like it's a worship of nature. It's a worship of God's creation. I had a woman come to see me who said she felt spiritually dry and disconnected from God. So I asked her, when do you feel the presence of God? She said, when I take walks in nature. And I asked her, when was the last time you did that? And she said, 6 months ago. And I said, well, maybe there's a reason why you feel disconnected. I told her to set aside some time for a walk in nature and then come back next week and tell me how that was. I said, you connect with God, feel his presence, and hear his voice. Isn't that spiritual? She said, well, before she went, she said, that doesn't feel spiritual. But when she came back, she said, I've been closer to God than I have in a month. It's important to understand the way your soul connects to God. Then once you know the main ways you stay connected to the vine, I encourage you to actually write out a plan. I call it a soul care plan. Some may refer to it as a rhythm of life. But for the purpose of this sermon, I realized maybe I should call it vine connection plan. Each person's plan will look different. And I just want to talk through each of the areas briefly. But you know, anything that's important is written down, right? We have all kinds of written down things that are important. So physically, you need to protect time for physical activities that energize you or times of rest that refresh your soul. Maybe sometime during the day you need to just stop and take a couple deep breaths. Kevin likes to take walks and exercise. I know many of you like to run or ride your bike. In a book about having a personal retreat, I love this, it stated that if you were tired, take a nap. As you know, the last 5 years I've had many surgeries, recovery, and physical therapy. Every morning I have to do various physical therapy exercises to keep my joints moving and to be able to even get up and move. I became discouraged that it takes so long in the morning and it was wasting time. So I began to listen to the Pray As You Go app as I do my therapy, as I do my stretching. And this podcast reads scripture and gives you space to meditate. And it's a little hard to keep feeling sorry for yourself when you're trying to listen to God's word. So it also helps minister to me to just like take my eyes off myself and the Lord, and a lot of times other people come to mind. It helps strengthen my soul each morning. I'm not saying all the time, I still can self-pity and be upset, but it definitely helps me to focus off of that. Second way to stay connected to the vine is relationally, in and through community. Who are the people who just nurture your soul? You just want to be around them. Who encourages you? Who are your cheerleaders? Who prays for you and with you? Whom do you allow to speak into your life? Are you in a small group where that's your fellowship? Spiritual friendship, I read a book that said, is the intentional pursuit of friends who help you remain open to God. Spiritual friendship is the intentional pursuit of friends who help you remain open to God. Spiritual friends help each other pay attention to where God's at work in their lives and help each other respond. Spiritual friendship takes the everything is together mask off in very specific human in-the-moment ways. It requires a willingness to enter the risky realm of being known as a person in process. There's a book that was recently released by Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, I didn't know how to say it, called The Anxious Generation. It's a book about teenagers and children a lot. However, I believe it applies to adults as well. He states that when you give your child a smartphone, you're giving them an experience blocker. The way you interact on social media is nothing like face-to-face. Emojis don't substitute for real smiles or laughter. Maybe the next time you want to spend time on your phone, maybe call someone or call and ask one to have a cup of coffee. Or instead, call someone and talk to them and have them come over for a cup of coffee or tea. Last night, I was kind of tired and I was just going to get ready and play games on my phone. And then I was convicted because I'd been thinking of sister-in-law all day. All day, she kept coming back to mind, and I hadn't talked to her for a little while, and she just had major back surgery 11 weeks ago, and I called her, and I said, I know it's a little late, because she lives out on the East Coast, and she said, I have had the worst day ever. She goes on to proceed to tell me that she'd gone out to lunch after physical therapy with a friend, and she was walking out with her walker, and she hit one of those, you know, the bumps in the sidewalk for blind people, and went crooked, and she fell flat on her back and hit her head. And she told me the story about how actually she was okay, but then had to go to the emergency room. But she was like, I cannot believe that you called me. And so then we prayed, and she went off to bed. So I was like, okay, well, that was a good idea, even though I was kind of tired, but it was a good connection. Meant a lot to her to know that I was praying for her. I met with a longtime friend a few weeks ago. We talked for 4 hours straight and prayed together, and it reminded me how important it is to be with friends face to face. I don't know about you, but life is so busy, I lose time for dear friends. And we need to be intentional, scheduling times together. This particular friend, we had scheduled this time together 2 months ago, which I just was like so sad that we had to do that, but we have busy lives. But I have to say, when the moment came and we had 4 hours of great fellowship and talking and we prayed, it was just wonderful. Third way to stay connected to the vine is to nurture your soul emotionally and mentally. Are you taking regular breaks from the mental and emotional drains of life? We need to give our minds rest. What activities do you do for purely the pleasure and renewal they provide? One of my restful times at night is to sit next to Kevin in our den. If you've ever been in our home, he has a big Papa Lazy Boy chair, because he's 6'4", and he's a big chair, and me in Mama Lazy Boy chair, because I'm short and need a smaller one. But we're usually reading or doing crossword puzzles together. Some people I know love to do Sudokus. These give me a panic attack. I'm like, I don't understand how this is restful for you. So just spiritual disciplines are very helpful in feeding us, to feed and exercise our soul. There are a variety of inward and outward disciplines. There are many books. I want to mention a few spiritual disciplines. One is the scripture reading, which I've already mentioned. I think scripture is like a daily vitamin. We receive so much junk into our souls every day that we need to fill our souls with some scripture every day. And I'm not talking about the hour Bible study. I have a client, when I asked him how often he read scripture, he admitted that he heard it on Sunday mornings. So I began to explore with him how his life rhythm was, his work rhythm, and he commuted 3 times a week, quite a distance. So I encouraged him to listen to Pray As You Go. So he came back and said that was so good that then he had started listening to read through the Bible, you know, audio as he was driving. How are you feeding your soul with scripture? A second discipline is prayer. Does prayer at times overwhelm you, whether praying by yourself or with other people? One of the things that I found is that the Book of Common Prayer is full of prayers in scripture. You can use this for personal, family, or group devotions. There's lots of books out there that give you prayers to pray, and that those are very helpful if you get stuck with not knowing how to pray. Devotionals, lots of them have a scripture and a prayer for you. Kevin is a very faithful intercessory prayer person. He prays for all of you, but of course he can't pray for all of you every day as much as he would like to. But he puts 3 names a week on his bulletin board, and he prays all week for that person. And I've struggled with intercessory prayer. So for Christmas, Kevin gave me a digital picture frame, and so I put lots of pictures in there. And I love pictures of people and have quickly put many pictures on it, of family, church. We take the church pictures and put them on there. And okay, I do have to confess that many of the pictures are of my granddaughter, Julianne. I have the frame in our den where we sit at night, and I found that when each picture comes up, I pray for that person. God gives us many creative ways to pray. What is yours? The last spiritual discipline is silence and solitude. It's a very important one because we live in a busy, chaotic, and loud world. I met with Marilyn Stewart, my spiritual director, for 27, 28 years, which I know many of you did. But right when I started getting to know her, I was the executive pastor living a very fast path, very fast pace. And so she said, you know, you're under a lot of stress. And I said, I love my work. I'm under positive stress. She said, no, you're under a lot of stress. I know. And so she said, I want you to take a 2-day silent retreat. And I'm like, you mean like by myself? Are you coming? And she's like, no, by yourself. So we picked out 2 days. And she said, I see your blood pressure going, even as you write the date down. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And so then I went to this, it was a convent nearby, and I walked in, and the nun took me to my room, you know, little room, and then I was like, okay, so I unpacked. That took 2 minutes. So, now I have 2 more days. I realized that we need that time to turn and to really be with the Lord. And I have to say, it turned out to be awesome. And Kevin says, I went to the retreat as a cranky pastor and came home as a happy pastor. And I'm so thankful that many of you here at Savior know the importance of retreats. So maybe you're hesitant to create a plan. However, most things that really happen in our lives, we are intentional about. Just do something small. Add something new. Add something you've done before. When people write a soul care plan for me, I tell them, okay, now take it home and divide it in half. And most of these people I work with are high achiever leaders, and they always look at me kind of funny. And I said, it's because then you'll actually do it. So they do, and then they start doing it. Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. What's your plan for staying connected to the vine? Staying connected to Jesus. Amen.